is the first interview with Mr. Aubrey Thompson. The time is 10 o'clock, Tuesday, March 17th. Okay, that'll be good. Okay,
well,
okay, let me just... Okay, Mr. Thompson, just give me a brief biographical sketch of your life.
Well, I was born in San Diego in 1915, and I've, except for the war years, I was in the South Pacific. I've lived here all my life, and went to state only for a couple of years. Went to Point Loma before that, high school when it was a junior, senior high. Went to the Army and Navy Academy before that until the family went broke and they jerked me out around the sixth grade. So then I went to Loma Portal Grammar School and then to Point Loma and then on to state. And a lot of the friends that I still have were friends I had at Loma Portal and Point Loma and State College. Especially the ones that were in the fraternity. We still meet once a year. And as they say, the ranks are thinning. But we get together and have a great time, at least try and relive and not tell the same joke we told a year before. And I guess I've worked all these years. In fact, just this last week I've started to slow down by only working 2 days a week now.
Yeah, let's pause here for a second after you out of the Navy or Army.
Well, I was working before I went into the service at the end of 42. At a local furniture store. In those days, it was one of the leading stores. It was Bembo's. And after I got out of the service, I swore I wouldn't go back in the furniture business. And I think I had a weekend off, and I was back at work at Bembo's on Monday. So I worked there for, I think, a total of 12 years. And then we went down to, we started a furniture store. We bought one of the stores that Bembo's had, and it didn't work out too well, so we sold the stock, traded the stock back to Bembo's for our indebtedness. And I went to work for the Building Contractors Association in San Diego. And that's when we moved to Del Mar, which was in 1957, I believe. And we've been here ever since. And a little while, six or seven years after I went to work for them, I went to work for one of our members that I'd recruited. And they needed a salesman, so they thought I would do, so I went to work for them in 1964. And they were known as Coinomatic Department Laundries in those days, and then they changed the name to California Meter Service because we had a branch up in Northern California, and they're both owned by the same corporation, and they decided they better have this a single name rather than have one name up north and one down here. And that's about it. I did stay in the Army in the Reserve.
Okay.
And got out, or retired, I guess I was 57. I was a lieutenant colonel and couldn't get enough time to go to Staff and Command College. And there wasn't any opening in the reserve unit anyway. I was in for a full colonel, so I was blocked. And so I had a total of about 23 years in the Army.
Oh, okay. Okay, so then you lived in Del Mar for the last 30
since
years.
Since 57, yeah. Okay. So it's almost 35 years.
Okay, that's great. That's positive. Mr. Thompson, what is your most vivid memory from the time you were at State?
Well, Mark, I think the Depression had a big effect on all of the students that were going, most of the students that were going to State or any college in those days. They didn't, most of the people that went to State did so for one of two reasons. They wanted to go get their degree, or they wanted to go 2 years to State and then go to the college of their choice, which would be a little more expensive. One of the chaps I remember in our fraternity went to State for 4 years and graduated, and then went back to Michigan to get his law degree. And that was pretty much the way it was in those days. This was kind of the, 33 was the year I started, and that was right in the middle of the depths of the Depression. So if someone got a good job, like most people tried to work, as I'm sure most of the students or some do right now, but I had to have a job on the side to keep going to school, and that's the reason that I didn't finish the second year. I had half of San Diego for McFadden Publications. I was a distributor, and in those days they used to have little kids sell the magazine, and I still see some of the little kids I had as Liberty Boys, they used to call them. I had Liberty Magazine and Physical Culture, Radio Mirror, Movie Mirror, and you'd have to do that once a week. You'd throw the magazines on their porches at night and then start collecting in about a day and a half. And a lot of the Liberty Boys that I had I still see them because they're some of them are quite prominent in business. One of them I know was in the Army with me, and he was engineer for the Port District. John Wilbur, John Tarantino, who has a restaurant on Harbor Drive, he was one of my boys. And anyway, the minute you got a chance to get a good job, most of the guys, they just took off, because that's what you were, unless you're going into a profession, that's what you were going to State College for, to either get a degree or help prepare yourself for some kind of a job. So that's about the way it was.
Okay, so as far as the most important thing was being is getting a job, what do you think? Do you think in any way that the Depression affect your education at SDSC?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, I think so. Yeah. Only because I never completed it. You know, it certainly affected in that way. And I was wanting to be an attorney, and I was pre-legal. But in the freshman year, hell, you had to take certain subjects.
As far as your educational experience, did you benefit?
Oh yeah, yes.
Was it what? Did you have the necessary classes? Did you take classes that you really enjoyed, or?
Well, the first year I decided to go late. I didn't think I'd be able to because the family couldn't help me with the tuition, and I was working at a service station at Lone Portal. It was just opposite the what was then the main entrance to the Naval Training Station. And I saw all these kids going down when I was underneath this car, greasing it. And I saw all the kids that I'd gone to high school with going to college. And so I said, to hell with it, I'm going to go to college. So I quit right away, and I think it cost me $34.50 for my tuition. But then I had to dig up another $12, I think, to get books used. They had used books. I suppose they still do out there. I got as many used books as I could. But I know that the Depression did affect the education only because it limited it to the amount that you could get in the years you were there. And there was certain people that had the funds to go on to complete the college education, get their degrees, and it seemed to work out just as certainly they had their lives maybe better planned.
Could you obtain all your classes? I mean, you could pretty much.
Yes, yeah. You could. I couldn't because I was so late, and it was my first year there. And it didn't make too darn much difference because most freshmen had to take certain things. But I didn't get some classes I wanted. I remember I got biology, which I'd taken in high school, and that had the damn thing to do with what I hoped to be. But I remember old Doc Johnson, a gal teacher, and she was great.
Okay. Aside from your education, what about your recollections of your social life? Your like parties, well, or varsity yeah. sports, or
well,
fraternities.
I remember that probably more clearly than anything because that was really the fun part of going to college in those days for me, and I got joined a fraternity that I'd known some of the fellows that were in it already, but not too many. We put on dances for the school and I remember one of the things, our claim to fame is I started another chap, Bob Tyson, who was in the fraternity with me. We started an event called a Ford Frolic. And we held it at Hotel Del Carnado. And the gimmick we had, we always gave away a Ford to the lucky, unquote, couple who had their name selected. And in those days, you could buy a Model T for about $20. So we took it over. We'd always buy it and take it over. And that's why it was called a Ford Frolic, because we always gave a car away. And it was a formal dance. The gals looked great in their long gowns and most of the fellows had on tuxes, and it was really a lot of fun and most enjoyable. And I remember, the problems of kids I hear about having trouble with drugs today, and in those days, we just didn't have that problem. We sure as hell had the alcohol problem, but I know most of us didn't drink until we got into college. Our folks drank because it was during Prohibition, and we had booze around the house, but we saw them, and we decided that wasn't for us. But once we got in college, and in 32, Prohibition ended, so everyone kind of let loose a little bit. So there was a little alcohol problem, but nothing of the proportions, life-threatening things that they have going today, Mark.
Okay, so the social life was fairly normal.
It was super. Yeah, it was great. Kid. Normal.
Good college life. Okay, how about let's see, how about your you say in the questionnaire that that you were interested in politics and that you read the newspaper daily.
Yes.
And so on a national, as far as political nature, what did you think of FDR and the New Deal programs are, and how they might have affected SDF?
Well, even though I'm drawing Social Security to this day, when it started, I said to everyone, I swore to them that I would never, never see a dime of it. And I started paying into it the first time they had the damn thing, because I was working for Bimbo's. And the only time I didn't pay into it was when I was in the Army during the war. And they said, well, don't worry about it, you'll get credit for it. Well, you didn't get credit for it, but it wouldn't amount to anything if you had, because the way they figure your compensation now depends, I believe, on your last 5 years earnings or something like that before you retire. But I was, even though I was a freshman, I guess no one else wanted to do it in those days. There was a hell of a lot of Democrats around. And I was chairman of the Republican party for State College. And I remember that, I think it was Governor Rolfe was the one that I helped get elected. At least I was blowing his bugle at State College. And
so you were involved in some kind of like political gatherings?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. And then we had in student elections, I helped one of our fraternity brothers get elected to one of the student body offices. I forget where it was, the vice president or treasurer or something, but it was fun. My problem was I had to go to work, and the minute I was through the classes, so I couldn't stick around for a lot of the things. I remember the interfraternity athletic events we had, where I enjoyed those very much. We played football and track and basketball, and that was fun.
So in general, the New Deal programs, you were somewhat against them a little bit.
Well, yeah. I know that they did some good and gave people jobs, kind of, like they built the Civic Center in the city, and everyone was kind of, they were quite impressed with that, you know, and it still serves, I guess, for the county down overlooking the harbor. But in those days, when people worked for the for those government jobs, known as the Works Progress Administration, WPA.
EPA.
And everyone just used to laugh when you said you worked for the WPA. So I never got involved in any of those things. I always had a job in private industry doing something. It wasn't a very good job, at least I was doing something.
Okay, as far as employment, you worked at the exposition.
Yeah.
3536 Exposition.
Yes.
So can you tell me a little bit about your experience
there?
Yeah,
well, I didn't actually work for the Exposition, but I had all these little kids selling Liberty magazines, and three or four of them would get into the, they'd get passes to get into the Exposition, and I'd have to take the magazines, because if they could get in, they could sell as many magazines as I could give them. And I was born during the first Exposition, 1915. It was 15 and 16, And my dad worked for a bank in those days. And he was, I think the president of the exposition in those first one was G. Aubrey Davidson. And that's how I got stuck with the name I did, because my dad worked for this guy, and that's how I got my first name. The first, that exposition in 36 was a lot of fun. It really was. And you'd see all your friends there. You could get a pass that you'd get in any time you wanted.
So how do you think that, do you think it maybe changed San Diego a little bit? Or?
Well, I think it did. It certainly brought some people to the town. That's why they did it as much as anything. I think they were just trying to get some people or movement in the town, and I think it was successful to that degree.
Okay, let's move to your family situation, or you mentioned in the that you lived, you had your you had a home, and
oh yeah,
and just a little bit about what your family might
have
experienced.
We lived in Loma Portal, and my dad had, he didn't lose all of his money in the stock market, which was unusual, but he developed a portion of Loma Portal called Poinsettia Park, and he sold. In those days, when you had a subdivision, you put in the streets and the lights, and then you sold lots. And he had it right to that point. He had left the bank to go into this venture, and unfortunately, the Depression hit. So he sold the whole subdivision to a chap that was from back east. But he and his family were around San Diego, and the guy couldn't make it. He just went. Went belly up and went bankrupt.
Okay, so how do you think maybe, so you said that your father was affected by
the Depression. Yeah. Okay. He didn't do a damn thing for 4 years.
Okay.
So,
That'd be not, like, what is your feeling about that, or your opinion, or what did you think of that?
Well, it certainly changed my outlook on college. I knew damn well I wasn't going to be able to continue education. I'd have to get out and get a job if I was going to have a life of my own. And no one thought too much in those days about the war. And we just wanted to get out and get a job. So that's what we did. And that was just a terrible thing as far as the family was concerned. I had a younger brother, Jack, who I lost just last year. And he had the afternoon route. He had the Tribune for Loma Portal, and I had the Times, L.A. Times, for all of Point Loma. And that's the only way you could afford to have a car, because they paid enough so that... I think I got $50 a month for 92 papers, and that allowed me enough to drive the car and pay for it, and still have $2 or $3 on weekends to take out a girl.
That's positive. Okay.
In 37. No, I guess 38 or 39, I joined a young club in San Diego that was kind of a forerunner for people going into Rotary or Kiwanis or Lions. It was called 2030, and I'm sure they're still active. I get invitations to their meetings, but I've gone to some of them, and they seem to be a little wilder than we were, as I remember. But I was president of the club in 42, and I remember that year we had four different presidents, because we kept getting drafted. The president, we would lose them as fast as we as we would get them elected. And then at the after the war, when I went back to work at Bimbo's, I was had something to do with their advertising, so I got in the advertising and sales club in San Diego, and I was president of that one year, although I didn't have much of a background in advertising, but we sure had some lovely programs, and a lot of fun in those days.
Okay, if you, for your like your extracurricular activities, what did you you attend like movies or go to the beach?
Well, we used to go to the movies maybe once or twice.
Any kind of
a month, I guess, and of course they weren't as expensive in those days.
Mm-hmm.
But I got married in 1940.
Mm-hmm.
When at St. Paul's, which was ACC, and they moved that church out to State College campus, in fact. St. Paul's is now up on 5th and Nutmeg, as I remember, something like that. And then after the war, we started All Souls, which is out on Point Loma. I was in the Every Member canvas to get that thing rolling. It was really my wife. She was more of a churcher than I was.
So services you did, but during your, as your student, did you, was like maybe going to the church or anything of that priority?
Well, I'd say occasionally, but because I was going with my future wife, I did go to church, I guess. I owe two or three times a month on Sundays, I'd be there because she wanted to go.
Okay, Mr. Thompson, can you tell me a little bit about student work ethic during that time? How students felt about working and combining that with education?
Well, I think about 90% of the kids going to state were pretty darn serious about their education, because all around them there were people out of looking for jobs, not unlike today, I suppose, but there just weren't any jobs to be had. San Diego didn't have any type of industry. It was a Navy town, so-called, in those days. But just by sheer living, the kids actually had to acquire a work ethic, or their life was not going to be very much fun. And I know these little kids. I keep going back to these kids who used to sell the Liberty magazine. I used to pay, I think, 2.5 cents for the magazine. It sold for a nickel. I got a penny, and the kids got a penny and a half. But they got coupons also, greenies and brownies, and they got prizes with those. So that's really how you got them to sell the papers, magazines. It wasn't the money. They wanted the greenies and brownies, and then you'd show them this catalog of all the prizes with a bike on the front, and that's how you tricked them into selling. But they were pretty darn good at selling. And then I had one young boy, I remember, he lived down on Crosby Street. And about the Friday night, which was about the end of the week for selling magazines, because remember it came out Wednesday. And I'd pick up as many magazines as I could. And I think I had 4,000 magazines a week about for all San Diego. And I'd take as many magazines as I'd collected Friday night down to this house, which was a ramshackle, terrible place on Crosby Street. And Bobby Barr was his name, and he looked almost like the kids we used to see in the movies, Jackie Coogan. That's exactly how he looked, and he'd take out 50 magazines, 60. He'd be just, you know, loaded down, and he couldn't come home until he had sold all his magazines. His mother didn't care whether it was midnight or what. So he'd go down to the taverns, and he'd find some sailors that were young and had a few too many beers, and he'd give them this sad story, and his eyes looked so soulful. And so they'd give him 50 cents, and he'd take out and throw away 10 magazines so he could go home. But I had the lowest return, I think, in the United States because of this little kid. I can remember it. And he didn't get to keep much of the money.
So these were like newsies, right? Oh. Or the kids that you hired?
Yeah. Yeah, you'd just go out and drive around the neighborhood. You'd see some kids playing in the lot. You'd go up, and I'd have one. They used to have sacks, cloth sacks that had the advertising Liberty on the side. And they'd throw it over their shoulder, and I'd start them out with 8 magazines, or 6. But you'd always tell them about the brownies and greenies, because that's all they were thinking.